Well, God has given us grace, hasn't he? God has enabled us to enjoy life in communion with him, in fellowship with him. It is the grace of God that enables us to persevere in life, to move forward as we are able to endure the challenges and the difficulties that we face. Isn't life exciting? Isn't life a series of opportunities to allow God to do miracles in our life? This is what God is allowing to happen in the midst of us. It is what he is enabling us to do. And as we redirect our passion, we are able to focus on the call of God. We can live each day with a state of gratitude and hope stirring within us. We can bring our fragments together and we can accomplish great things in the name of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord. In fact, when we say in the name of Jesus, we say in the strength of Jesus. We say in the power of Jesus. All of the things that the name of Jesus connotates, we establish, we represent, we are in agreement with, we are holding on to and trusting in and looking to, and we are being strengthened by the name of Jesus. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the grave that dwells in us. This is why life is so exciting, why it's such an adventure that no matter what the situations are, no matter what the circumstances are, you and I are able to overcome. We are able to arise victoriously. It doesn't matter what state or place we come from in the past. Our mindset and our ways are being conformed and transformed into the mind of Christ, the ways of God. The way of life that we were born into was not in our power, in our control. We didn't have any say in which family we would be born into. We didn't have any say as to what country or what nationality or what conditions we would be born into. All we know is that the grace of God gave us life. You see, life is awesome. Even though it has its challenges and its difficulties, it begins in the place of brokenness, but it ends in the place of redemption, of healing and wholeness and completeness. And so it's not about where you came into the world or where you've come from. It's about where you are going. What is your future going to be? And that is why we can bring our fragments. That is why we can bring our pieces together so that we can allow those pieces to be transformed and molded into the image of God and of Christ. And so our lead verse for today is Mark 2, verse 17. And it says, "In hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus did not come to call the righteous or those who are self-sufficient or those who are able to see things in the way that they perceive as being right in their own way, in their own will, in their own ideas and mindset, but sinners, those who are broken, those who have been separated from God, those who realize their weaknesses and their shortcomings, those who recognize their need for a Savior, that is who Jesus has come for. He has come for the sinner. And you and I are able to benefit because Jesus came for us. Some come for the wealthy. Some come for those who have something that they can benefit from. Some come because they are looking to be somebody or do something in and of themselves. But Jesus came for sinners. He came for us. And so because we have received of him, and because he was looking for us, we have been ignited and communed and tied in together with him in all that he represents and in all that he is. And so I would like to use as a theme today the value of brokenness. The value of brokenness. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would enable us to accomplish all of the things that you have called us to do. You have charged us with the great commission of going into all the world to preach the gospel, being able to arise and stand in the midst of all of the things that may come our way as we live our lives each day, that we, in the wisdom and in the strength or the enabling of the person of the Holy Spirit, we are able to accomplish your will. Though we are broken, we are able to recognize our value. We know that you have come to give us life and to give it more abundantly, that we might live in the pardon of our sins, in the strength and in the wisdom of God. And in Jesus' name, we do pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, there's value in brokenness. Brokenness is not just something that you endure and you hope and strive to overcome. Many of us have various situations in our lives that demonstrate the level of brokenness that we represent. We may come from broken homes and broken relationships. We may come from a broken economic condition. We may find ourselves in situations and circumstances that seem to be overwhelming. Sickness and disease may be rampant all around us. But nonetheless, in this condition, this state of brokenness that the world finds itself, we are able to overcome. We are able to see the value of life. We are able to see our own value. We're able to see the value of one another. We're able to see the value of all that God has created. Even though it is broken, it still has value. Even though things are fragmented and are not as they ought to be, they still have value. And this is why we must redirect our passions. We must align our passion to the passion of Jesus so that we can align ourselves with the mind of Christ, with the will of God and the ways of God. All that we are and that we represent would come together in the fullness of the strength of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of the Lord would enable us as he is working even in us. And so in Luke chapter 5, we see how Jesus was calling his disciples. And in verse 27, he's calling Levi, who is a tax collector. Verse 27 says, after that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And we know that in those days, the religious people and religious orders would never call a tax collector because he was the most despised man in the whole community. He represented the government and he represented the tax collector, the man who's come to take a piece or a portion of your income. And he wanted as much as he could get from the person and the people he collected from. His goal was to get as much as he could get. And then he would, in return, turn in a portion to the government and keep the rest for himself. That was typically how he would operate. He gauged or gained his income based on what he was able to get above and beyond what the government required. And as a result, people despised the tax collector. But Jesus saw him in the work booth, in his tax booth at work. And he saw him there and he said, follow me. Jesus said, I'm going to take your state of being despised and your state of brokenness and your state of weakness and yieldedness, and I am going to mold it and shape it into something I can use. God wants to use us, and he wants to take us from the state that we're in and mold us and shape us into a condition that reflects the kingdom of God, the redemptive work of the Spirit of the Lord. And so verse 28 says, and he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. Levi was a man of action. He wasn't someone who just believed and then sat around pontificating about his belief, or even just randomly talking about how he was blessed and highly favored, and how he was able to have faith in God and trust in God. But it says he left everything behind, got up, and began to follow him. The Christian life is more than talk. It's more than just being able to make claims and be able to say this or that. It's about a life of action. It is a life where you leave everything behind. You forsake all in order to follow Jesus. This is a requirement. This is what God has called us to do. We must get up and begin to follow Jesus. You see, you cannot follow Jesus if you're not going anywhere. You cannot follow Jesus if you're not in pursuit of something. You must be about your Father's business. You must become a doer of the word. This verse is the very picture of what it means to be a disciple. This is a disciple's life. It is a reflection of the child of God, the genuine Christian who is walking in the ways of the Lord. And so he left everything behind, got up, and began to follow him. You and I must leave everything behind, get up, and begin to follow Jesus. It says Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him. Notice what his actions are. The actions of Levi are amazing, because he takes his home and he turns it into a reception hall. It says he has a big reception. I pray that you are able to take your home and turn it into a reception hall. It ought to be a place where you're inviting family and friends and coworkers so that you can purposefully introduce them to Jesus. You may not be able to introduce people to Jesus at work. You may not have opportunity to testify and represent the kingdom of God and bring the way of salvation to people on your job, because you're hired there to do a particular job, and you may not be able to. The opportunity may not present itself, but you do have a house. You have a home and a place where you are king of your domain, where you are ruler of your property and overseer of all that takes place in its midst. And you have opportunity to hold a big reception. You can invite people to your home for the strict purpose of helping them to get to know the Savior. You are able to bring your fellow tax collectors, your coworkers and other relatives and friends, the people that you interact with. You are able to use your influence and your relationship with them to encourage them to come and hear the word of the Lord and have an encounter with God, with Jesus around the table. This is what Levi did as he was following the call of Jesus. We're living in a day and age where this may be the way of the future, where the people of God are able to use their homes as a hub for ministry, where their homes become a place where they are able to bring people in and share the love of God, the word of the Lord, the testimony of the Spirit of God. Oh, I pray that you are able to catch this vision, that you are able to see the importance of having a big reception so that you can have a great crowd of coworkers. Some may be tax collectors, some may be tax evaders. Whoever they are, you can have an influence in their life for the sake of the kingdom of God. God wants to use you. He wants to use your place of residence as a place where his word can be shared and introduced into the lives of the people that you have in your life. It says the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, and they were saying, "Why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus was known for interacting with the broken, people who had experienced brokenness in life, the people that no one respected or appreciated. And maybe you and I find ourselves in a situation or circumstances that is not quite respectable. And maybe it's a difficult hardship. And maybe we come from a background or a place that people don't like or don't particularly care for. Maybe we find ourselves in an occupation that may not be one that is the way we would prefer to be. But nevertheless, God has a call on our life. And the reason for the call is God is trying to reach all the people. God is trying to reach all those who are able and willing to come and heed the call, "Follow me." Jesus is calling us to follow him. It says, Jesus answered, verse 31, and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick." Jesus came for the sick. He came for those who are broken off. They have been separated from wholeness, from the whole of society or the whole of community, of the whole of the world. Those who have been broken off due to the condition of sin in the world. Jesus came to reconcile man back to a place of wholeness because Adam and Eve had lost it. By one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, we are reconciled to God. We are restored. God is the one man who could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Hallelujah. And you and I are able to experience God putting the broken pieces back together, being reconciled to God. You and I, our lives are being transformed and restored and renewed by God. We are being restored in the fullness of the power and the strength of God so that his will might be accomplished. Verse 32 says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but to sinners," but sinners to repentance. Jesus is calling. He is calling. He is saying, "Come, come, come, follow me, follow me, follow me." Will you heed the call to follow Jesus? Will you hear his voice and follow him? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." I pray that you are of the sheep of God, that you are of the sheep of the Lord, and that you are able to hear his voice and you are responding to the call, that you are able to respond. He is saying, "Come, come with a heart of repentance. Come with a heart of yieldedness and brokenness so that you can change the direction and the trajectory of your life. Allow the Spirit of God to arise and work in the midst of you so that you can overcome." Hallelujah. God is able to enable us to overcome. He is not called righteous, people who are self-sufficient, people who are able to stand on their own two feet, who have their own ideas and their own will and their own ways, but he is willing and he is wanting the sinners to come to him. He wants those who have lost their way, who don't have any idea, who realize their brokenness and their lack of self-sufficiency, their inability to overcome and to make it in this world without the help of God. You and I, we need the Lord's help. We need the hand of God working in our lives. We are the broken. We are the sick who need the great physician. Luke 22:19 says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We're all familiar with this passage as it represents that which we recite in the communion experience. And as we are remembering what Jesus did, as we are remembering how he suffered and died for us, how he lived his life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, overcoming temptation and every evil and sin that would come into a human's life, Jesus was able to overcome it. And because he had victory and gained victory over sin and death, you and I are able to share in his victory. We live our life not in our own sufficiency, but in the strength, in the wisdom, and in the power of the Spirit of God. And so when he took the bread, he broke it. No one takes a whole loaf of bread and eats it whole. Often it is broken. I'm sure there is somebody out there who's going, I take a whole loaf of bread and I can just rah, 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 rah. But I tell you, the average person does not do that, do they? You don't go to the store and buy a loaf of bread and start eating it all in one sitting. No, but you break it. In fact, these days, it comes pre-sliced. Isn't that right? It's pre-sliced so that you can do more with it. When the bread is broken, it can accomplish much. It can feed the multitudes. It can be shared around the communion table, and the people of God can share when the bread is broken. You and I are experiencing and reaping the benefit of the brokenness of the bread. You and I are broken. Your life is broken. And because your life is broken, you can identify with other broken people. You can testify of God's ability to restore, to heal, and to deliver and set free. Because Jesus also lived and endured, he can relate to your suffering and mine. Because Jesus suffered in the same manner in which humanity and all mankind suffers, yet he was victorious in every aspect of it. Because of his victory, you and I also have victory today. Because what Christ did is being ascribed to us, in that we are now joint heirs with him. We are now his ambassadors. We are now the people that have been called by his name, who are able to overcome in the strength, in the wisdom, in the power of the Spirit of the Lord. God is our victor. He has enabled us and strengthened us. He is the one who has made a way even when it seemed impossible. God is able to abundantly do more than you could ever ask or imagine if you place your faith and trust in him, if you follow him and you don't lean to your own understanding. And so this is what Jesus is calling us to walk in and calling us to achieve and to accomplish. It is to obey and accomplish the will of God. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God, you will not despise. The Lord will not despise a broken and a contrite spirit. God is calling you and I in our state of humility and brokenness to call upon God. He will not despise us. He will not turn away from us. He will not resist us, or he will not repel us, but he will receive us to himself. He will enable us to come into his presence. He will enable us to reap of all the blessing that the resurrection provides, that Jesus Christ accomplished. We are able to share in it. Verse 18 of Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Oh, saints of God, are you broken and crushed in spirit? Are you in a state of brokenheartedness? Have you suffered in various ways, challenges, difficulties, injustice, unfairness, all types of hardships and difficulties that are going on in the world around us are being dispersed rampantly and randomly throughout the world, and everyone is having their share of challenges. But Christ came. Jesus came. He came that you and I may have life. He came that you and I may have victory. The Lord is near. Will you respond to him? His hand is reaching out. He is reaching out. He is looking to grab hold, to draw you in. He is looking for those who will join and take his hand and be responsive to the call of God. He says, follow me. Follow me. I will lead you in the way that you shall go. I will lead you around the obstacles. I will lead you in a way of victory that enables you to overcome and accomplish all the things that you need to accomplish in your life. God is near. God is calling to you and I, and he's calling us to follow him, to be doers of the word of God, to fulfill the call of God. Like Levi, the one who was despised, he was able to rise up. He forsook all and followed Jesus. You and I need to rise up and follow Jesus. We need to learn how to forsake all. We ought not allow things to hinder us, no matter what they are. We're living in a time where everyone is being compelled to stay home or to withdraw or to hide away in their homes. Don't go anywhere. At least that's the way it is in New York. Hallelujah. Not necessarily in other states, as I hear. And so depending on whose report you believe, you will find yourself operating accordingly. But I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I choose to believe the word of God. I believe in pursuing and fulfilling the call of God. Jesus said, rise up and follow me. He said, obey my word. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we keep the commandments of God. So we apply the word of God in our lives. We become doers and we follow him and we pursue him. God is calling. Will you come? Will you respond to Jesus? Oh, Isaiah 66:2 says, for my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Oh, saints of God, do you tremble at the word of God? Are you concerned about being obedient to the will of God? Are you concerned about obeying the word of God? Is it something that you concern yourself with, that you are humbling yourself and you're saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? Lord, I might be intimidated. I might be afraid. I might feel that I'm inferior or that I don't have the ability, but God, I am trusting you. I am looking to you. I am following you. I am obeying you. I am allowing you to work through me, to use me, to accomplish all that you have for me, that I might be the ambassador of Christ you've called me to be, that I might be the witness of the Spirit of God you've called me to be, that I might be the person that you are able to use to hold a big gathering, so that I might be the testimony that the world needs to see, certainly that my friends and coworkers and neighbors need to see, so that the word of God may be accomplished in them as well. Oh, I tremble at the word of the Lord, that I might be sure to be in alignment with its truth. This is what you and I have been called to model and what God is trying to work in our lives. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be able to accomplish all of these things in the name and the strength and the wisdom of God by the Spirit's enabling. Mark 12:30, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. The word for heart there is the word desire. All of your desires ought to be for the love of God. all of your decisions. It's rooted in the love of God. My love for God is why I make the decisions and the choices that I make. It is what is at the root of all of my desires. It says, with all of your soul, that's your psyche, that's your personality, the thing that makes you you. It's your identity. It's the thing that everybody loves or hates about people. But God says, you ought to love the Lord with your identity. Love the Lord with yourself. And it says, with all your mind. That's the word for your reasoning. And as you're making your decisions, as you're pulling all of the information together, don't forget the God factor. Don't forget what the word of the Lord says. What is it that God is calling me to do? What are the obstacles that are keeping me from fulfilling and obeying the word of God? Let me reason my way through these things. And I want to be sure that my conclusion in my reasoning factors in my fear of God, my concern for aligning myself in doing what the will and the word of God is. Finally, it says, with all of your strength, you need to persevere. You have to fight your way through making the right decisions. You have to fight your way through allowing God to use you in your personality and in your ways. You have to fight your way through reasoning and making wise, pulling in all of the right information, the godly information, so that you can make a wise decision and choice. This is where you need strength. This is where you and I need to persevere, and we need to have persevering force. We press on, enabling to accomplish the will and the ways of God. Hallelujah. Exodus 28:15 helps us to see this a little more clearly as the ephod of the Lord was made for the purpose of representing the high priest, representing the people before God. And so verse 15 says, you shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman. Like the work of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be square and folded double, a span in length and a span in width. In other words, a perfect square. You shall mount on it four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. And the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row should be a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper, and they shall be set in gold filigree. And so these are all types of precious stones. These are choice stones. These stones that represent the people of God. There were 12 stones in three columns of four rows. And we know that they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And it, as in essence, representing the people of God of the Old Testament, those people whom God had called out of the world to represent him, those who were of the people of God. You and I are of the people of God. You and I are choice stones before God. We are precious stones. The word of God says that we are precious in the sight of the Lord. We are those who have been broken off of the greater peace. Oh, there is significance in the brokenness of the stone, in the peace of the stone. This is what the ephod looked like, and it was built and created by a skilled craftsman, the word of God says. And notice that you had to know how to sew to put this thing together. And then you had to know how to somehow affix the stones to the material and the gold backing. I tell you, that took a little bit of creative, skilled workmanship. And the high priest would wear this on his chest. It was known as the breastplate that represented the people of God. The priest didn't just represent himself, but he represented the people of God. He had the stones, the broken stones that were embedded on his chest, on the breastplate, to remind him and everyone else that he didn't just represent himself before God, but he represented all the people of God. You and I are a stone that represents the whole of the people of God. The world is looking at us and they see us as the people of God. They have expectations from us as the people of God. We may be broken pieces of stone, yet we are precious stones. We're not just broken off of junk stone or garbage stone. We are broken off of precious stones. And the stone has value. Your brokenness has value. It is the broken piece that determines the value of the whole. And when you understand the value of the broken piece, then you understand the value of the whole, of the part in which it comes from. So this high priest would wear this ephod on his chest, and he would represent the people of God. And it is a beautiful piece. And he would be able to come before the Lord in behalf of all the people. Everywhere you go, you represent the people of God. Everywhere you go, you represent the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do not underestimate who you are in Christ. Do not underestimate the power of God that is at your disposal, the ability for you to bring in the manifestations of God, for you to represent the presence of God, the anointing of God, the move of God. You and I ought to be able to go into the midst of the great crowd of witnesses, of people, and be able to be the testimony that God has called us to be. We need to be able to have a great reception so that those who do not know him may come into fellowship and communion with God. There are known as what is known as the four C's that the jewelers utilize to determine value. And the first form of value is the cut of a stone. And that's the ability for it to be polished enough to be used for jewelry. In other words, for other people to see and appreciate. You and I need to be cut right from the cloth of Jesus. We need to be cut from the chief cornerstone of God, from Christ himself. We need to be cut in a very fine way so that when we're polished, we would be able to shine and reflect the color of Jesus. The color is what is shown as light is being reflected off of it. That's what is meant by the color. You and I need to reflect the color of God. When the light of Christ is shining on us, when the light of the Lord is shining on us, we need to be able to reflect the color of Jesus. We need to have all that God represents reflecting in our lives. We need to shine with the brilliance and the beauty of his glamorous colors. You see, the stones on the ephod were different colors. They were different types, and some were multi-layered colors. And the reflection of light caused them to sparkle, to represent the glory and the majesty of God. I pray that your life is reflecting the glory and the majesty of God. Then the next area is clarity. Oh, the ability of this to reflect clearly without obstruction, without any fractures or blemishes or anything that would affect the appearance and the structural integrity. You and I need to be able to hold it together during hard and difficult times. You and I need to be able to endure hardship and challenges. We need to be able to overcome obstacles and every evil thing that may come against us. We made to have the clarity of the Word of God ruling and reigning in our hearts, holding true, faithful and true to the Word of life, that we might be able to bring the message of God, that is the carrots. We represent the weight of the Scripture, the weight of God's redemptive work and God's redemptive plan. The carrots, they represent the weight of the stone. The message of the gospel is heavy, man. It's heavy. It is a heavy message. It requires men to repent and do a U-turn in their way of life, in their way of thinking, in their way of operating and doing things. We turn from going our own way to the way of the Lord, to following him. We follow the call. That is a heavy message to carry and a heavy message to receive. But we bring the weight and the fullness of the gospel, the stone, and we bring it in pieces to broken people. You and I bring the message of the gospel in the way God has portioned it to us to present. You're going to present it according to your personality in your way. I'm going to present it according to my personality and according to my way. And each one of us is going to share the message of the kingdom of God and the gospel according to who they are in Christ, according to how God has designed and created them to be. And in all that we are, everything that we represent, all our, the fullness of our identity and our persona, we come in the love of God to bring the weight of the message of redemption so that the will of God may be accomplished in the lives of those whom God has brought into our lives. In Revelation 21:9, we see this lived out. We see this as it talks about what is coming in our future. Verse 9 of 21 says in Revelation, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. And they said, 'Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" Hallelujah. This ought to cause you to rejoice. This one verse ought to cause you to, it ought to spark joy. Hallelujah. It ought to cause you to have happiness and be able to recognize, because ultimately in the end, it says you and I, being the bride of Christ, will make it to see the Lamb. We will be able to make it into the place where God has prepared for us, and that we might be with him in the end. It says that one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Well, saints of God, do you tweak interest when you hear that? Does that spark something in you? And when you hear the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last plagues, the last seven plagues, the saints of God, you think things are challenging now, things are going to become even more challenging. And if people are not willing to follow the word of God in this condition and situation and scenario, and are operating in fear and withdrawal and resistance to what the word of God, not being concerned about the word of God more than they're concerned about their own health condition. Oh, saints of God, you and I are in for some real trouble in the future when the Antichrist really begins to reveal himself. Oh, I tell you, the word of God says in the last days, the people of God will be turning each other in to the Antichrist. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you see that already in the world happening in the lives of Christians. The people are already turning people in and pointing the finger because of their choice or their decision to follow God or to do what is on their heart to do that they feel God is calling them to do. And you and I need to be able to be wise when it comes to these things. We need to have wisdom when it comes to these things. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Saints of God, You and I are living in challenging times, and challenging situations are all around us. We come from challenging and difficult backgrounds, our home lives, our life experiences, the various things that we've had to endure in life, whether sickness and disease or whether financial perils or hardships, whether family issues and problems and discord and all kinds of chaos and confusion in our homes, all of these things that are at work in the midst of our lives, they're designed for us to be able to be polished and buffed so that we can be able to overcome them and shine with the reflection of Christ and of God as the precious stones that God has called us to be. You and I are the ones who are able to run in when others are running out. We are able to be able to bring life, health, and strength to those who are operating in the power of God. You see, when you are operating under the anointing, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But when you operate in the flesh, you will indeed suffer accordingly. You will suffer in your flesh. And so the goal is to walk in the Spirit. The goal is to overcome by prevailing in the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God. This is why we pray without ceasing. This is why we are meditating on His Word day and night. This is why we fellowship with other believers so that we can draw strength from each other, so there can be an exchange, a one sowing into the other, and we speak into each other's lives and we receive into our lives, and there's this interaction that is taking place, and the Spirit of God and the anointing of God is being stirred up and motivated within us so that we can overcome every obstacle the enemy may bring into our lives. Oh, verse 10 says, and he carried me away in the Spirit. I pray that you're being carried away in the Spirit, that you are operating in the Spirit. Everybody is going somewhere. People choose where they want to go and what they do and how they want to do it. And I pray that you are choosing the path of Jesus, that you are choosing to follow the way of the Lord, that you are following Him, and that you are being used in the midst of the people to bring the message of repentance, the message of the gospel, the message of life, the message of liberty and freedom. Jesus has called us for such a time as this. This is a picture of what will be happening in the last days. And so I pray that you are able to come to the high mountain and see, that you're able to stand in the high walls of Jerusalem and see, that you are able to know and understand what the will of the Lord is. Some people, they can see what the news media is saying. Some people can see what social media is saying. Some people, they can see what other people are saying and random people are saying and what people are doing. But can you see the things of God? Can you see what the Lord is saying? Can you see what God is doing? Can you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what the Spirit of the Lord is doing? Can you hear the voice of God calling, come, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I pray that you are able to see the hand of God. Verse 11 says, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Does that sound familiar? Does that stone sound familiar? Oh, it's one of the stones on the ephod. Hallelujah. It says, and it had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east and three gates on the north and three gates on the south and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Hallelujah. This gets even more exciting, doesn't it? Oh, we know that the ephod, it represented the Old Testament believers and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the people who were called by name out of Egypt and into the promised land, who represent the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the ways of God, the fullness of God, the provision of God, and all that he is. Those names were also written here on these walls in this city. And then we find also the names of the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. We see their names also are now here, and they represent New Testament believers. This represents the people who placed their faith in Jesus Christ himself, in the resurrected work of God. You see, the Old Testament believers, they looked towards Christ and the resurrection. They had faith in God who would bring their Savior and the Deliverer and the Healer. And God placed there in them the ability to follow and obey the word of the Lord and to have relationship and fellowship and communion with them. And those who followed him and had faith in him were looking towards the cross. And then we have those of us who are after the cross, and we look back and we see what Christ accomplished. We look back at what Jesus did, at who he is and how he redeemed us, how he liberated us, how he set the captives free. And so the names of those who are a part of that great work of God are here on the city and the foundation stones, and their names are here written on the wall. Saints of God, you and I have a new name that's written in glory. You and I have a new name that is written in heaven. God is able, and he is willing to see you through. No matter what challenge you face, no matter what difficulty or hardship you have to overcome, you shall be victorious if you're walking and following Jesus. If you're walking in the strength of God, according to the wisdom of God, in the power of God, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, you shall be victorious. This is what God is working out in your life and mine. Verse 18 of 21 says, the material of the wall was jasper and the city was pure gold. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. Hallelujah. Sound beautiful? Oh, yes, it does. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third was chalcedony. The fourth was an emerald. The fifth was sardonyx. The sixth was sardius. The seventh was chrysolite. The eighth was beryl. The ninth was topaz. And the tenth was chrysoprase. And the 11th was jacinth. And the 12th was amethyst. Oh, saints of God, there is beautiful layers of stone that make up the wall. You and I are represented here. You and I are represented as the stones that were broken off. We have been broken off. We are a part of the chief cornerstone. We are connected to Jesus. We are a part of the bricks that make up the kingdom of God. You and I are a part of a great and awesome kingdom. You and I are able to overcome and live our lives victoriously. We shall be there with him in the end at the wedding feast of the Lamb. We will be there in the midst of God in all of his glory. He shall make a way for us. You can be strengthened today. You can be motivated today. You can be encouraged today. You can know that despite your broken past, your future is great. It is wholeness. It is completeness. It is liberty. It is strength. It is power. It is glory. The Lord your God, he will be with you. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each one of the gates was a single pearl. Could you imagine having gates of pearl? Hallelujah. One pearl? How big is that pearl? Oh my goodness, it is mighty. It says, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. That is why you and I can understand the love of God today. This is how we can understand that we are not defeated, but we are more than conquerors through Christ who enables us. We are the people of God. We are called by his name. We are called by God to be able to overcome every obstacle that may come our way, that the glory of God would prevail, because God has not called sinners to repentance, but he has not called the righteous, but he has called sinners to repentance. He has called those who are broken. He has called those who are lost, that they may have life. You and I are a part of the great call of God because we understand the value of brokenness. I pray that you understand the value of brokenness as you redirect your passion for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now. Oh, yes, Lord. That you understand that though you are but a mere individual, you have great value. You are a fragment of the Spirit of God's working in the world. You represent the Word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. And even though you may be broken, so is the diamond that gets shined and buffed. Nobody buffs a boulder. Nobody digs out a giant, huge rock to buff out so that they can carry it around to show people, because it's just too big. It's too heavy. And the kingdom of God is too big for us to carry the fullness of it around. So God takes us as broken vessels and broken pieces, and he gives each of us a calling, a condition, a part of the very work of God. And when we bring our fragments together, all of our broken pieces, it gives us the understanding of the whole, and the glory of God is able to prevail in our lives as we connect together in the strength and in the fullness of the Spirit of God, so that his glory may impact the world of everyone that we represent, even as Levi represented those who were despised, those who were called the tax collectors. But he was able to reach all of his tax collector friends and have a great reception. And you and I need to have a mind that enables us to reach the many that God has given us to reach. The family and the co-workers and extended people in our lives that we have an impact on. Let us be the witnesses that God has called us to be. Let us bring our fragments so that we might eat of the bread of life, that we may have the fullness of God being restored in us as he buffs us and cleans us and shines us and enables us to reflect the light of Christ and the kingdom of God as we work and be established together in the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, that you would manifest yourself among us, that you would help us to shine as the precious stones that we are, that we would not be lost in our identity, but that we would shine through all that you have enabled us to endure in our lives. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to arise in the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord, that your glory may be manifested, that we might live a life of victory, overcoming every obstacle and every challenge. Despite our broken fragments, we come in the fullness of the Spirit, in the volume of the book, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, as a witness and ambassador of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.